Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com. DebatePhysics.com also. Video presentation. So this is chapter 4, Gravity, of the book that's something like It's the Small Universe After All. And everything that happens there first. And that sort of needs to be understood. Just one of those fact things. And gravity, you know, is an experiment we've all done, you know, this thing. So it's shouldn't be much dispute about the basic mechanics. All the experiments are consistent. They all show the same thing. That's, you know, it's a very regular, consistent force. No real examples of it doing something silly or that's out of that simple function. So the simple function. And the simple function is what it looks like. What all the evidence sort of shows is that any material object is somehow, okay, seems to be more stuff coming in than that comes out. And that would be the simplest way to explain why we fall, is that somehow there's more stuff hitting us from one side up there than is coming from the ground pushing us back. And so we're in a stream, essentially, going one way. And that we stop moving in the stream when we hit the earth, okay? And we kind of know that the earth, the stuff on the surface, is stuck there too. It's got the same dilemma. It's, you know, it's got a tendency to want to go in further, but it can't. And so it's constantly being, you know, pushed this way. It probably has a very sore ass also. One side of it is incurring more pressure than the other side. And that constant circumstance leads to the obvious. So if we did try to make a hole in the earth, you know, dig a hole very deep, the problem would be as this pressure increases as you go deeper and deeper. And because there's more and more mass trying to fall and it can't do it, and so it's building up the amount of weight on top of things. So you can imagine sitting underneath the Empire State Building, you know, there's all this weight above you, and it's going to be very, very heavy. It's going to squish you very, very thin, you know, because it's a lot of weight. And the same thing happens here, and so you could never build a structure strong enough to withstand the pressure that you're going to incur the deeper you go, because it's in all directions. It turns into all directions because the, you know, pushing from one side, if it can go this way, it'll go this way. Or if it can go that way, it'll go that way. In any kind of pressurized system, if you have a hole in the side, well, then you can get rid of the pressure, because the pressure is essentially easily understood as being kind of like a ricochet rabbit thing, that the pressure just bounces around, and if you give it enough time, you know, it'll hit every surface the same amount. So if I had one little, you know, jumping bean, one little thing that never stopped moving, and I put it in a box, it'll basically hit all the surfaces eventually and create a equalized amount of pressure in all directions. And if I leave one side open and I have some source that puts a new one in, you can understand that the box over time would just end up going that way, because the side that doesn't get hit as much is going to be this side. And so this side will get hit more, that side will get hit less, and it'll move. Well, the same thing is happening here, this whole scenario. So, I mean, I can go through the examples of why you're not getting, you know, pulled into the earth. There's not some force pulling you, okay, into the earth, and you can sort of get it that, well, if it was pulling me, then maybe when I got to the surface, I wouldn't feel it in one spot on my, you know, my feet or my rear end or whatever. I wouldn't impact because I was being pulled, and it would be more graceful. But obviously, if you're pushed, then you can get that you're hitting something else and pushing on it, that you're transferring a push to the earth. All right, so back to the simple argument that all you're trying to do is say that, look, somehow when the universe. Oh, well, it was working well. Anyway, used crayons. Dangerous. Anyway, so there's a force and a force. And, right, you know, I stated the simple argument is that something about the Earth degrades this force, and so this force ends up being stronger. So this ends up having a plus, and this ends up creating a minus, in the sense that there'll be less force coming out. So no matter which direction the force goes in, it comes out diminished a little. And so what would cause that effect? And so the simple explanation is that matter and force are two different things. So it really is like this box example, that there's stuff, you know, the box, matter, you know, that you can make out of something. And then there's the force, and the force interacts with the matter, okay, primarily by doing this reflecting thing. In its interactions, and that's basically the game, is there's force and there's matter. So if I had a bit of force and I had a bit of matter, and it could be the same size, frankly, so it's just a bit, just a little thing, and this one moves and this one's dead. So if I could just say the whole universe was just made out of golf balls, right? So it's just golf balls with a direction, okay, and depending on what they hit, they change their direction. And in that universe, there are golf balls that don't move, okay? They lost their moving arrow. And the idea would be is that the golf ball that's moving encounters the one that's not moving, and if it isn't already moving towards it, it will move it. So it'll connect to it, and it will share the motion arrow, and it'll move slower, half the speed, because it's the dead one, let's say, weighs the same amount, so it's just dividing the velocity in half. If you have to carry, you know, twice as much weight, you'll move half as fast. Simple enough. And so it would be going in this direction, and if a counter golf ball hits in this direction, the argument would be is that both just reflect as if they hit each other, and you just end up with a dead golf ball again, not moving. Well, you can't really see that, but close enough. Alright, looks like this thing is going to give up on me, so maybe I'll get another one. Yeah, do some testing. Alright, should be back. And, alright, so let's just go through it one more time. So you have matter, okay, and then you have the bit of force. And the idea is that the force encounters the matter, it doesn't move, and it pushes it. And the key thing is that the force was moving at the speed of light, and now it's going half that speed, okay, in this direction, because it's pushing the matter. And then you can understand that a bit of force can come from the other direction, and then this one will reflect, and this one will reflect, and this goes back to being not moving. So it's, we'll just do not moving with a little x, so it's back to not moving. And then you can understand another piece of force could come from this direction, okay? And then it's going to end up moving back. So I should have had this one go forward, so you understand it goes to this new position. And so it's in this new position when it's here, and then it's going to collect this piece of energy, this direction, okay? And it's going to move back and ends up where it started, technically, you know, because it would stop there, because another force would come this way. And that heads and tails, you know, it'll add up in the same in the end. So basically the matter moves from position A, and it goes to position B, and then it can go to position C, all right, but it always ends up back in A, okay? So it doesn't gain anything, and all you've done is change the speed of the little bits that were hitting it. So the little bits slow down in the sense that every time they're pushing the matter, they're moving slower. That means they get someplace later, right? They would be here, okay, if they didn't push matter, and they're only here because they pushed a piece of matter. And so that's the big difference. So you've lost this amount of energy in the universe. So the more dead bits there are, so if I had a volume, okay, and I filled it full of little dead ones and active ones, Okay, the more dead ones I put in there, the less pressure that's going to be in the vessel. This is going to slow down the velocity of half, or whatever the number is, of little X parts that have to be pushed around. So the more matter I put in, the less energy this system will have, because the bits are spending more time going half their speed. All right. And so, in a sense, that basically explains the deficit created in a gravitational body like the Earth. So you stand on the Earth, and the energy going this way through the Earth all right, is diminished, which means you have more here, okay, pushing you down than pushing you up. And likewise for the other side, okay, the energy that goes through the Earth this way, or any one of these ways, that's the inverse square law. Doesn't matter how much matter there is, it's always a portion, you know, any angle, okay, that has any portion in this direction. So an angle, even this very slight angle, has a portion in this direction. And that's all that matters, is there's a portion of the gravitational energy that's in the same direction as you going down. It has a downward portion. But, you know, that's a detail you don't really have to understand. But anyway, so the energy that goes through the Earth this way, it does the same thing. And yes, this ends up creating a center of gravity, but the center is sort of an illusion, because it's really this dimension, it's the whole diameter that is pushing electrons. So these are being pushed this way. Electrons are being pushed this way, you know, on that side of the Earth. They're being pushed this way from this side of the Earth. Okay, the pressure. And the pressure ends up being some equal amount, because the universe basically produces an equal amount. And so you end up with a center. Okay, that's the center of your gravity. And that makes sense. Oh, this marker's... Anyway, okay. So yeah, that creates the differential. So it's a very simple explanation. You don't need anything too complicated. Just understand that matter, okay, when it moves this way, and then it moves back this way, it didn't change the universe any, because it's still in the same spot, technically. And what it did do was absorb energy to go this way and then back that way. It absorbed energy to move. So even though the movement didn't produce any net product, that is, you didn't push the whole universe this way, or you didn't push the whole universe that way, the fact is, yes, you undid what you did, and therefore the universe is the same materially, but the fact is that the motion did in fact consume some of the energy of the universe, because the force was moving less than the speed of light while it was pushing the matter. So you could argue that this is basically heat, and that's what you find, is that the bigger the object gets, you know, it tends to get hotter and hotter. And you can understand part of that being just from the pressure, is, you know, anytime you create more pressure, any vibrations end up being stronger, because you're going to end up hitting the sides of something more often. So if you're oscillating back and forth and somebody closes the walls in, your oscillations will increase, and the amount of times you hit a wall will increase. So that's basically heat. And so the evidence of gravity would be the heat of the core of all of these objects that are big enough to have gravity. Now that the technical a way you get around gravity is neutrons, and the creation of a neutron star, because that's a very cold thing. Okay, a neutron star ends up having electrons and protons with very little interaction, very little movement, and therefore they don't consume much of the force of the universe, because they don't do much moving. So the less the matter moves, the less gravity and the less heat. So you could have very dense objects that in fact still are very gravitational. I don't want to imply they don't have gravity, because you're still going to move them, but it's just very dense matter, and therefore it doesn't move That's what's the right word to say. And it also doesn't have anything to synthesize. You know, if it's neutrons, it can't turn hydrogen into helium, and therefore it's not going to be bothering to be on fire like a sun. So it's not going to be emitting a whole bunch of visible radiation. You know, but it still might be radiating thermal radiation. All right. And probably you don't need that part to understand that the simple mechanism, the simple thing to understand that there's matter and that the matter doesn't innately have energy. That the, you know, 1/2 mv squared of Einstein, I mean mc squared, is, you know, it's just an acknowledgement that the universe itself has energy in it. And that if I did have a box, okay, and I put a BB in it that just bounced around, that any object I put in there that the BB couldn't pass through would in fact make the volume of the box smaller and mean that the BB has more energy. So 1/2 mv squared is just saying that anytime you have matter, you have an occupation of an amount of space, and by occupying that space, you give everything on the outside more energy because you give it a smaller surface to fly in. It has less space. You've reduced the size of the box by filling the box full of voids that the force can't pass through. So it could be understood that simply, that the energy is, the matter is innately produces energy in the universe by consuming a volume of space that the force can't pass through. All right, so I think that's, yeah. So I'll pause and see if I need to add anything, but I think that's good enough. It provides a simple explanation. It explains why there's an inverse square law. It fits all the evidence. It produces the exact effect, which is just this effect. Again, it's a very simple effect. Half the distance, four times the size. Four times bigger than this. Fact. And gravity is not hard to explain. It's just realizing or conceding that the activity inside the Earth is at a price. The price is it's consuming energy to be molten and hot. That's evidence of it using energy. You know, the fact that it is hot. Stuff is moving, and the movement isn't free. It consumes energy from the universe. A material piece of energy is essentially a heat sink. It's absorbing a little bit of energy just by existing. Because it has to be moved. Because it does move, I guess that's the point. And the movement compromises the speed of the force. Diminishes it a little. Alright. So I'll pause and see if there's anything else. All right, I guess I'll just say something simple to, simple analogy. So just imagine your life and you do a certain task. So it doesn't matter whether you're running 4-minute miles or you're jumping hurdles or whatever you're doing, or you're just doing work in an office. It doesn't really matter. If you had to carry an extra 10 pounds with you, like a football, you could understand that it would degrade how efficient you could do whatever you're doing. Because of the weight and the inconvenience or whatever, how you want to think about it. But you'd have to use more energy. It would consume your ability to do stuff in the universe. And the same thing happens to force when it's pushing matter. It's just adding a burden, and the burden isn't undone in some way. It's a real burden that takes away from the little bit's ability to move through its life faster. It gets home from work slower. Okay, because you're carrying extra passengers or something. And you have an electric car that only uses a certain amount of electricity to get you home. You understand the more people in the car, the slower it has to go because it can't it can't do the same work because it's got more burden. It's got more work to do in the same amount of time, so it's got to compromise the time. And the same thing is true here. So the system balances it by taking some time off the speed of the force, and that slowing it down changes its momentum, and it doesn't have the same momentum in the universe anymore. Or something like that. All right, so that's enough, I think. Simple explanation, and it works. It's good enough for me. Yeah. The alternative explanations, frankly, are all silly. So this one wins because it's not silly. And such. So this has been DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Until the next time and such.